Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo. Hey, friends. Well, I hope you got your taxes done because it's April 15th, and that means tax day in the U.S., everyone's least favorite day in April, I think. Unless you're getting a refund, then you are excited. April is such a transition month, isn't it? Mother's Day and graduation parties are just around the corner, and we're finally transitioning to warmer weather clothes, at least here in the South. I've been working on getting my winter clothes pushed to the side of my closet and making room for lighter spring clothes. Last week's episode kind of gave me the push to shop my closet and see what I've got for my spring capsule wardrobe. I mean, I'd like to just go shopping and buy new things, but I'm trying to keep my budget in check, so shopping in my closet it is. Okay, my guest today is Donna Sella. Early in her career as a nurse, she realized someone needed to be advocating for aging patients and their families by communicating between them and our healthcare systems, interpreting not only the patient needs, but care options and resources available, which are not always very clear. If you have aging loved ones or are concerned about your own journey as you age, I think you'll enjoy my conversation with Donna. So, on with the show. Well, hey, everybody. I have with me today a dear, dear friend. Her name is Donna Sella. She is a wife, mom of two adult daughters, and she is an RN, a nurse with over 35 years of experience and a board-certified patient advocate whose passion is care coordination and supporting individuals and families navigating the healthcare system and the aging process. Donna founded a brand new company called Elder Care, an aging-friendly advisory services company with a multidisciplinary team of seasoned, compassionate professionals, including nurses, social workers, occupational and physical therapists. Recognizing that we are spiritual, physical, and emotional beings, at Elder Care, they are whole person advocates, helping navigate the complexities of aging while being committed to health, wellness, and independence. Elder Care's focus is to simplify the complexities of aging by partnering with clients and families to identify what matters most and assist them in meeting those goals. Welcome, Donna.
Thanks, Debbie. So good to be here with you today and get to talk about something I'm super passionate about.
I am so happy to have you today because you are a dear friend and I've watched this journey unfold as you started your new company. But the first question I always ask my guests is tell us something that's not on your bio.
Something that is not on my bio is that I love to take Friday afternoons off and go play golf.
That's wonderful. I didn't even know that about you. How fun.
It's like my guilty pleasure to be able to go and just start my weekend. Usually late in the afternoon, but knock off around 3 o'clock and go play 9 holes and then start my weekend.
I love that. And that's decompressing, de-stressing, which is great for us in midlife because we need to have those pockets of time of de-stressing, you know? So that's awesome. I love that. And I'm sure we have lots of women out there who play golf. I do not. I'm a mini golf player. That's about it for me.
Well, it's cheaper.
Yes, it is. You know, my husband and I talked about, you know, possibly playing golf at one point when we got older, but, you know, now we've had shoulder injuries and everything else. So I don't know if that'll ever happen. We'll see. But for
it's
now,
actually how it's one of the ways I met Mike, my husband.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, because he worked on a golf course. And so one of the first things we did was go golfing. So
I love that.
Our whole marriage.
And I love that because, you know, I talk about this a lot on at different times on the podcast, when we talk about relationships, it's so important to find things that we enjoy doing together as couples. So that's wonderful. I'm glad that's something that you guys do.
Yeah.
Well, you have been a nurse for over 35 years, but in this midlife season, what in the world made you want to start your own company?
Well, I think you know this, but like 25 years ago, I was a nurse at the bedside in Naples, Florida, and I would see all these seniors come down, snowbirds, and end up in the ICU where I would be taking care of them. And their kids would fly in, and there would be, all this, tension and planning and, life-saving things going on. But in the back of my mind, I just kept thinking, what happens when they go home and their kids fly home, and they're still here recovering? Who's advocating for these patients? And that's just what started kind of simmering in my heart as I was taking care of these patients in the ICU. And so I started looking for different avenues. I looked into parish nursing. I looked into being an ombudsman. And then I found Geriatric Care Management, which is actually a national organization, and started my own company 25 years ago. So I like to say that I was coordinating care before it was cool. It just has been like the piece of my soul that I just feel like someone needs to be advocating. Someone needs to be able to communicate with our healthcare systems and with our families and really interpret. So I ended up selling it to a national company when we were in the process of adopting our daughters, and went to work for this national company, thinking this is what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And we brought Abby home from China, and she just needed a lot more of my time and attention. And I ended up stepping back and going back to work at the hospital just to be able to be there for her. And I thought I was done with it. I mean, I just thought that was like, and so I took several jobs where I was coordinating care for a national company and helping hospital systems move towards improving care coordination for their patients. And so I've always been in it. But then in April, gosh, April, this month coming up,
Oh, dear.
In 2019, before the pandemic, one morning I felt like God woke me up and said, "You're bringing back elder care." And I said, "I don't want to."
Let me tell you about my friend Donna. She's brutally honest. Even with God.
I mean, I had a really good job. I
I
was growing and learning. I was being compensated well. I mean, there were a lot of reasons why I really enjoyed where I was at that moment, never dreaming that there was a national pandemic, a worldwide pandemic coming our way, or what that would mean for healthcare, or what that would mean for us as a family. And so, I told God I would do it, but that I really needed him to give me a tribe, because starting a company, at this season in my life just seemed daunting. When I did it at 40, it was like, no problem, I can do this. No, I'm just going to do it. There's an entrepreneurial bent in our family anyway, so I never dreamed that I'd be bringing it back, but he has given me the most amazing team, and he just brought them to me. It was
I love.
just so amazing. So, of
Oh.
course, in the true fashion that I do, I ran ahead of God, and he stopped me and said, "I'm sorry, did I tell you to execute, or did I tell you that you were going to and to get
Oh.
ready?" So I had to back it up and wait and the whole pandemic and stuff. So we've really been seeing patients and clients for like the last year and a half, and really starting to grow the company. So that's kind of how I got here.
I love that. Well, and I've seen some of that journey, of course, from as you've walked through it. But you, well, first of all, I want to say, do you mind telling the audience how old you are?
Oh, I'm 60.
I love that. No, don't cry. We are owning our age and our space in life.
I can tell you that I have never felt better than I do right now. I wouldn't go back to 40 or 50 for anything. And I love where I am right now. It's just shocking to me, because I don't even remotely feel 60.
Well, that's good
I
because
know.
they say you're only as old as you feel. So let's keep feeling young. But no,
Well,
seriously, and the reason I ask you is because I always encourage midlife women that we have so much more life left to live. There's so many more things we can learn and do. I mean, Grandma Moses was in her 70s when she started painting, and her paintings are worth, almost a million now. So there's And she was in her 70s, and this is back in the 1950s. So we have to think about these things that we always have more to give. We have more wisdom as we get into this midlife and later midlife. But I'm proud of you for starting your company at 60,
Well,
59.
I think that at this point in my career, that there's, I feel like there's a lot of wealth of knowledge in me. I feel like I'm very sure of who I am, and I have no problem advocating for my patients, regardless of where they are in the continuum. And I feel like someone, a lot of times our clients just need someone to say, it's okay to say no, it's okay to push back, it's okay, and just, be loving about it, but also be very confident in where we want to go and how we want to get there.
I think that's excellent because you and I grew up in an era where we didn't really question doctors or nurses or the care we were being told we needed to have. And so I think it's really, really important that we are speaking up and advocating for ourselves. But elder care is about older generation and what they need in their care. And so tell me something. Your company is called Elder Care. Can you tell us exactly what your company does?
Sure. So we help families navigate aging and healthcare. So that can be anybody from, let's see, we have kids in their 40s that we're helping them with their aging parents.
Okay.
So, and then we have clients, my oldest client is 96, and she's amazing. And again, we're helping her family manage what her needs are. And so it's the whole spectrum. I feel like my heart is for the family and the sandwich generation. It's those people that are in their, 45 to 55, 60 that are, might be raising their kids and want to spend time with their grandkids and, but still have their aging parents. And there's this constant tug back
Yes.
and forth. And so I say that we're professional daughters. We come along beside the family and say, we can help. We can offload some of that. We're kind of the easy button to be able to know which way to go instead of trying to spend a lot of time trying to figure it out.
So can you give an example or two about a situation where you might come alongside somebody?
Oh gosh, yeah, probably hundreds of them.
Well, just give us a few for the
Let's
audience to
see. I'll
understand.
tell you one from this morning. How's
Okay.
that? We got a referral, and she is a sister who is taking care of her aging sister. And her aging sister has some dementia and is in a skilled nursing facility. And so her sister, the client that we met with this morning, has just knocked it out of the park trying to care for her sister and has loved her well. But now she's coming up against some resistance with the assisted living, with skilled nursing, trying to figure out what is the best place for her sister. and what her needs are going to be and what she can use as far as community resources or private duty caregivers, and also being able to say to, assisted living, you can accept her and we can help with this and we can help interpret so that she can be in the appropriate level of care and get the care she needs. I'm also working with a client who's in his 60s and had a lot of post-COVID needs, and his son, God love him, just really working hard, trying to get him to doctor's appointments, trying to take care of him in assisted living, trying to take care of, his own family and his own needs. And he was exhausted. The dad, was getting bounced around the hospitals, and it was, and just to be able to come in and say, I have this. You can just go back to being a son and, keep you completely in the loop, but I can help your dad. And he's doing fantastic. I mean, there's been a lot of advocacy that has had to go on, communicating with his doctors. Oh, we want you to come see us. Why can't we do telehealth? Oh, yeah, we can do telehealth. That's good. Okay. Do you know what I
Right.
mean? It's like,
Because you know the right questions to ask that doesn't overstress the patient or the
right.
families, because sometimes telehealth is just fine, but they don't automatically offer that.
No, and I mean, we had just seen the cardiologist, and we get this note that, they'd like to see us again in 2 weeks. And I sent a message through the portal and said, why? I'm keeping an eye on him and I will call you, but if we have to do it, can we do telehealth? She wrote me right back and was like, absolutely, happy to do that. But, again, he probably just would have gone to the appointment and taken another 4 hours out of his son's day,
Right.
because he thought he had to.
Right.
So
So
there's just a
these.
lot that we can bring into the home that people don't even know is available.
Right. And as aging, we actually have been in situations with some of our friends and their parents where there is no advocate, or we, Derek and I have a friend who doesn't have an advocate. He doesn't have any children. He doesn't have, his parents are gone. And he's not always getting the care he needs because he doesn't know what all the options are himself. And he's in the hospital at 70 trying to navigate all of this himself.
So, Debbie, that honestly is the other population. So, the sandwich generation is a huge area that I feel like we can offload a lot. The other one are these aging solo seniors that are just like you're saying, that don't have an advocate, don't have anyone there. I had one lady walk up to me at church and say, can I have your card? She said, every day when I go to the doctor, I think, who will I put down for my emergency contact today?
Oh no.
And I was like, put me, put me. I'll be your emergency contact. But I mean, we don't really think of those things, right? But when there's, not kids or, siblings or a spouse, who do they call? And I feel like, being able to wrap around these aging solo seniors is another area that we could just really give them a lot of confidence, a lot of peace. And, we're willing to be their healthcare advocate, and so we know what they want and we can make sure that happens. So those are the two areas that just are near and dear to my heart, and I feel like we really can make a big difference.
Well, I definitely think that that's a huge need, especially for solo seniors, because they don't have anybody communicating. They don't always understand what's happening. And sometimes they're seeing multiple doctors when they're in the hospital for different needs, and those doctors are not always talking to each other. It's fascinating to me how often that happens. I think it's excellent that you can wrap around them.
I was seeing a client, a GP with a client the other day, and I said, we really need to go get him into the podiatrist. And he said, oh, I can make a referral to a podiatrist. And I said, okay. And so sure enough, it pops up, referral to podiatrist in the portal. And when I clicked on it to make an appointment, it was an orthopedic surgeon. And I thought, well, thank God that I know that this is not the right place for this man to go, because he probably would have made the appointment and ended up at an orthopedic surgeon thinking he was going to a podiatrist because it said referral to podiatrist.
That's crazy.
I know it just happens all the time. So.
Well, your company is based here in the Nashville, Tennessee area, but can someone outside of this area access it, or is it just a local service?
So we are all of Middle Tennessee, basically from the state line, north state line, south, and then, kind of the whole Middle Tennessee area. We're expanding as opportunities come up to, to be more statewide. But the thing is about care management is that they are national organizations. I'm a board certified patient advocate, but I have three people on my team that are certified through the Aging Life Care Association, and that is a national organization. So you can go in and put in your zip code and see what other care managers are in your area. And I highly recommend that site to kind of look for a care manager. I'll have my sisters or friends call me and say, this is what's happening. What do I do? And I get on and I'm like, you need to call a care manager and there's one in your area, or here's, two or three that you should call and talk to. So, yeah.
And what is that co organization called again?
Aging Life Care Association.
Okay, I will look that up, get the link, and I will put it in our show notes for
Okay.
anyone wanting to check on that. But that's excellent information for people that are outside the Middle Tennessee area.
Absolutely.
So, if a listener is dealing with these situations that you've shared, what advice would you give them? Besides calling you, of course.
I would say the best piece of advice I would recommend is asking questions. I think the biggest challenge we have with healthcare is the lingo that we use, and it means something completely different to different people, the language that we use. And so we throw words out and we think everybody understands it. And everybody walks away with a completely different definition. And I mean, this last week I went and I said to the, I was in a skilled nursing facility and I said, when's their care plan meeting? And she said, not till April 2nd. And I said, well, I thought you guys were supposed to have them, within 48 hours, 72 hours of their arrival. And she said, oh, the son declined it. We said we wanted to have a meet and greet, and he said no. And
A
I
meet
said to,
and greet.
I said, why would you call it a meet and greet when it's a care planning meeting to like plan his whole stay? And she said, oh, that's just what we call it. If you're not sure what something means, ask another question. If something doesn't seem right, it probably isn't, and and ask again. Don't be afraid to push back on, on the situation if it doesn't feel right. And usually I also recommend is having someone else go with you to appointments. Oftentimes there's just so much anxiety and stress that we don't really hear things well. And so having a separate person listening, even, if they're just a friend or a daughter or a relative, just having someone else listen that maybe not, has so much anxiety around the situation that you're in is also just, I think, a really good idea.
Absolutely.
And if you're caregiving from a distance, that's another thing. We're actually getting ready to give a talk on caregiving from a distance. There are a lot of things that technology has come so far, and I rebel against technology, but it has become so critically important for families. So finding out the technology that will work in the home and being able to leverage that to keep people safe in their homes is just, another big option to consider. Ring cameras, huge,
I've actually
huge
heard
fan.
that that's a huge help with caregiving from a distance, that you can see
Absolutely,
what's happening
absolutely. Yeah.
to an aging parent. Yes. Well, before we wrap this up, is there any last thing that you would like to say to the audience about elder care or like you said, caring for your elders or loved ones?
I'm sure your team might not know, but there are 10,000 baby boomers aging in to Medicare every day.
Yes.
And in the next year, seniors that are 80 plus, so we've been cooking along with, seniors
Right.
coming in, but now we're going to hit this enormous influx of 80 and over seniors. So I would say get to know your neighbors, especially if they're aging. Get to know the people at church. Educate yourself about dementia. It's everywhere.
Yes.
And people are struggling, to be accepted when they have some form of mild cognitive impairment. And so I would say that as a society, we're going to have to embrace aging seniors like we've never done it before. And they're going to need us. We need them. I love my clients. They're fascinating, funny, interesting, have lived their whole lives and have a lot to offer to us. But I really just hope that, in the next 10 years, it's going to become increasingly a need to embrace our aging seniors and love them well.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you for visiting with us today. Where can the audience find you online? Your website?
Our website is actually youreldercaresolutions.com.
Great.
And they can find me on there. You can see our whole team. It's an amazing group of really beautiful people.
Well, that's awesome. I will put that link as well in the show notes so anyone who's in the Middle Tennessee area can reach out to Donna and her team at Elder Care. And thank you so much for being our guest today. I really
Oh,
appreciate having
Debbie,
you.
thank you so much. I love you, and I thank you so much for all that you're doing for this crescendo. I just thought it was such a beautiful metaphor for where we are right now. And so I'm excited to be a part of it. So thank you.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Donna today and realized that you do have choices when it comes to patient care and aging. Having an informed advocate to help you manage all that can definitely help your stress load. And if you are the one in the situation where you don't have an advocate, these services are a great option for you. In the show notes, I'll link Donna's website. And the national organization she mentioned, aginglifecare.org, is also a great resource for those of you that are outside Middle Tennessee. Next week on the podcast, we are hitting Sweet 16. I know that's a small milestone, but it's a milestone nonetheless. 4 months down, my friends, for Midlife Crescendo, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening. If you are listening, I'd love to thank you personally. So send me a message for our Sweet 16 on Instagram at Midlife Crescendo. If you're not on socials, email me at info@debbiecunningham.net, or you can go to www.midlifecrescendo.com and leave me a message there and say, I'm listening. And while you're at it, tell me your favorite episode and or your ideas for upcoming episodes, because I want to know what you want to talk about going forward. Even if you just have a question, this is your chance to ask me. Speaking of upcoming episodes, in the next few weeks, we will talk about seasons of motherhood, pelvic floor health, charities that amazing women have founded, inspiration for your own midlife season, and so much more. So thank you for spreading the news about Midlife Crescendo, and please keep sharing the podcast with your friends. It's the best way to grow our community of amazing women. Thanks for tuning in today, and remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.